This is the Gemara of Shmini Atzeres of Tavshin Pei Aleph. Starting now, the next Pedik, which we completed, the sixth Pedik, we completed all about Chum, and now we're talking about Edavin. I remember Edavin, you have the Mechitzes, which we talked about before, and then we have the Edavin itself. Edavin is the mixing of the food, which basically is that when you have a number of houses in one chatzar, a house is a private thing, a chatzar is more common. So Shlomo Melech made a gzeira, you shouldn't carry from your house in the chatzar because it might carry in the street. So what we do is everyone donates some bread, put it in one house, as if you all have one house in there, and therefore everyone could walk there. But if everybody joins except one person, that one person who has rights in the chatzar impedes everybody else from walking there, because there's a person there who has a right, and he's not part of our chatzar. So it becomes like, it's like two people owning a chatzar, and that becomes a rabbim compared to a house, which is only one person. Same thing applies to a mavi, a made street. You have a number of chatzers that spill out into the street, and each chatz has a right to walk in the street. We need to make a shetufim avoyis, again, the same idea, and because otherwise, the people of chatz have a right to walk on the street are obstructing everybody else from walking, because it's a common ground. We want to have one ownership. So, Hadodim Akum. The question is by a goy. If a goy is one of the neighbors, does he have to be included in the Eruv? And if so, how do we do that? So by a yid, we say that everyone donates bread, and even if he's not there, we can be mezakim, we can be zoichanim, or let's say he forgot to join on Shabbos, he can be mevatel reshus. He can say, I disown it, I'm giving up my rights. When it comes to a goy, the way we do with a goy is we actually rent it from him, we buy it from him. The Chum didn't allow them just to say, okay, I give up my rights and so on. We have to make a kinyan to make it happen. And the reason we'll see in the Gemara is because the Chachamim wants to discourage you to have Goyish neighbors, because we thought that might be a bad influence on you, or might be dangerous, or might be a bad influence, or the Goy might think that what you're doing is only thing you're doing is Kishuf, and he'll think you're doing witchcraft, and if anything happens wrong to him, he's going to blame you for it and cause all kinds of strife. So we're making it a little bit harder to have the Goy join you for Shabbos. This way you'll think, oh, it's so difficult, I'd rather live in a Jewish apartment block where everybody's a Yid and we can do whatever we have to do. So it says in the Mishnah, Hadoyim Akum Bechotz, if you're living in there with a Goy and sharing a courtyard, or somebody who doesn't agree with the Edev, which is a Kusi, that we say that the Kusi, the nation of Kusians, we had an argument if they became converts, whether genuine or not, but definitely not treated like Yidden. And Hareza Oyser Olav, they also cause you problems, and you have to include them in the Edev. And how do you do that? By renting it from them. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer LeOlam Einu Oyser. If it's only a single Yidde, there's no problem at all whatsoever. Ad sheyiyu shnei Yisraelim, or let's say if it's only goyim, there's definitely no problem. You can, and you moved in and rented a goy's house, there's no problem there because goyim don't ask it in that little courtyard. But if there's one yid also doesn't ask it, according to him, only the two yidin. Why? The Gemara will explain why. What if it was chil one yid or two yidin living in that apartment building, in that apartment block? I know that shnei Yisraelim only have two yidin there. There's a story with a tzduki. Shayidori manu b'mavi. There was a tzduki. So he's a Yid, but he didn't believe in all of these things. And Rabbi Gamliel believed that a Tzaduki is definitely a Yid, full-fledged Yid, and but you can't apokeris. So therefore, because he's a Yid, even though he's apokeris, all he has to do is give up, renounce his rights, and he can join in the Erev. So the story of the Tzaduki, Shayidori Manu Mavi lives on the street in Shalim. Bamalan Abba, father, said, you can't trust him. Today, Friday night, he said, you know what, I'm giving up my rights, but what happens Shabbos morning, he decides to take it back. Then suddenly nobody can carry in that street because you have another Yid there who's not part of the Ediv. So our father suggested, be first to take out all of your utensils to the Mavi before he changes his mind. Because if the moment he goes and starts taking his things out and he changes his mind, it's too late. But if you put your things there first, you were there first. Then we'll explain later what that achieves. Rabbi Huda said, no, he said something else. Rabbi Huda said, Maru, I don't trust him at all. But us, even if you put your things first and he changes his mind, for finally you can't bring it back into the house. So instead, what he said to them is, sorry guys, you cannot rely on his aid. If anything you want there for Shabbos during the day, bring it outside on Friday afternoon. Maru, actually, because eventually he'll change his mind to spite you, whatever it is, or he doesn't really care. And therefore, don't rely on this Eid of Chatzedah. Says the Gemara, Yosef Abayi Bar Oven, Abchin Bar Oven, Abayi Bar Oven, Achin Bar Oven, Satev, Yosef Abayi Gabayo. Interesting, we have somebody else with the name of Abayi. Everybody says Abayi is a Shatevus of a Pasuk because he was an orphan. Here we have a friend of his who had the same name, Abayi. So maybe Abayi was a name, not just some kind of a made up name. Abayi Satev, Yosef, coming to sing and saying, Bishloim Rab Meir Kesavara, I said Rab Meir. He says, that even if you're one Yid and the guy is living there, that you have to make an Eidav. So he holds Dida, so Chomish Madida. A guy living there is considered no different than a Yid living there. Somebody else has rights to that street, and therefore you cannot carry from your house into a public place which is a street. For Loishna Chad, Loishna Trey. What's the difference? One Yid live there, two Yid live there. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it's hard to understand. If he holds a guy is considered a person with rights, and therefore it causes a problem in the Chatzah, then if you're Chad Nami, what's the difference if you're one Yid or two Yid? Even if you're one Yid, the guy has rights in the Chatzah, and now suddenly the yard belongs to two people, so you need an Eidav. Nitzah should be forbidden until you do the right thing, until you rent it from him. The Leishmod, if he holds a guy, he doesn't bother us because he doesn't really have a dira, then I feel today, Namila Nitzah, then two Eden, what's the problem? The guy doesn't count. It's only Eden who aser on each other. The guy legally doesn't have the rights in the chutzah, that's what causes the problem. Amul Abaye said, you're so happy. The Savar Ameh, you decided Ameh, you think you understood Ameh, and you decided Ameh is Didas Akush Madira, that a guy has a Dida. Let me ask a question. But Tanya, we learn the Braisa, and we'll talk more about it on the bottom of the page. Chatzay Shalom Bechav Medikidish Behemah, the Chatzah, the courtyard of a guy, is like an animal courtyard in the sense that legally he doesn't have any physical rights in the Chatzah. And therefore he cannot ask it on the Yidin who live in the Chatzah, the character in Shabbos. So clearly, and we'll see later that this is Rameir, as we'll see later in the Gemara. So Rameir also doesn't hold that a guy has a house. So how come you bechlal have to include him in the Eidav? Everyone holds that a guy legally does not have any rights to that street, according to, you know, as far as our Eidav Chatzeres is concerned. So why do you even have to include a guy in the Eidav? We want to make it a bit difficult for the Yid to live there, and therefore we're worried. Shema Yilmud Mimasa. We're worried that you might learn from some of their deeds. So therefore, we made it a bit more difficult for you to live there on Shabbos because you have to rent it from him, and they had to rent it every single week and negotiate with him. And therefore, you know what? You're going to give up. Say, I'll live better in another neighborhood where it's easier, where all the people are Yidden. It's easy to go there. That was exactly the purpose. And so it's Machleik to Meir Abelazin Yaakov. Although the Yaakov saw the king of Chavim Dami, in those days they didn't trust the Goyim. There was no real authority, and the Goyim could pick on the Yidden, and nobody would defend them. Then trade the Shchicha died of Gozibu. Chalash Kila Gozibu. It's very seldom that one Yid would be prepared to live with Goyim. Usually, at least two families had to be there. So Rabbi Elazar Yaakov said, if one Yid is hardly ever happens, why make a Gzedus? It's all right. And I may have seen in the Mikvah that it does happen on occasion. So therefore, even one Yid living with Goyim, we're going to follow the laws of Chatzah, make it difficult, even though hardly ever happens. We don't want even that to happen. But Rabbanan said, "Ain aid of Moyel b'makom Akum." The Rabbanan said that an aid of should not help with the Goy. We want you to go ahead and you have to acquire from him. Ain bitlus Moyel b'makom Akum. No, we're going to make it easy that the Goy can just say, "You know what? I renounce my rights for Shabbos. You guys do whatever you want." Adchi Yaskin, and you have to go physically rent it from him, and the guy will be very suspicious. What are you renting my house for $1? But Akum Lemoiger, and a lot of going will be prepared to rent it out, and therefore you won't live there because it's too difficult. On Shabbos, you want, and so on. That's the purpose. My timer. Why won't the guy rent it out? You know, you're saying the whole idea is that Chachamim think that the going won't be so easy to negotiate with. Why? If the guy is scared that maybe something, you know, the Yiddish are trying to, you know, to con him, and somehow or another for this $1 they're going to end up owning his house or something, and they're going to have some ownership. It depends. So the Gemara now is going to lead into another machlek, as we'll see in a minute, about what exactly the Eidav does. Honey, Chlamandam is chidus b'ri bin, and that when you rent from a guy, it has to be a proper renting. Okay, you understand then. The guy thinks, hey, what's going on here? He's giving me a couple of dollars, and he's owning my house, and he can do whatever he wants. He can paint the walls or something. He doesn't know. He won't trust him. He won't do it. Even a weak kind of renting is good enough. Mike, remember, why should a guy be worried? He's getting a couple of dollars, doing nothing. What's going on? It says it has to be a proper renting, even a bad one. What do you mean, a poor one or a good one? My rule and my bria. What do you mean? Ilema doesn't mean bria means pruta. You have to give at least the value of a pruta. And the ruya means a weak lease, means pachas, or even less, even a couple of pennies. Me ika lamanda amr, is there anybody who holds that legally a penny is not a legal kinyan acquisition when it comes to a guy? Ma'akum pochna pruta loy, vashal, that it's not valid, it's not a proper transaction. Why is it called ru'uya poor? It's halachically, as long as it's legal tender, doesn't matter what the value is, it's legal tender, and therefore it's considered a good form of acquisition. And how do I know that? Because I showed Rabbi Rabbi Yaakov about Geirah, Mashmei Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yitzchak, the son of Yaakov, the son of Geirah, he said to Rabbi Yechon, have a Yedim, you should know, Shesoichim in a Akum, you can rent from a Goy, Afilu, Bepachim, the son of Pruta, even less than a Pruta. So we see that's considered legal tender, that's good enough. And another proof, Amar Abchir Barabba, in the name of Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yechon. Benoyach Nerig, Apochim, Pruta, the law is that if a Goy violates one of the seven mitzvahs of a Goy in Eretz Yisrael, when we were in control, they would get killed for all seven mitzvahs, including stealing. And even though they stole less than a prut, a loaf of bread, like in England when they all came to the convicts, came to Australia. But in that Israel, they stole, then the, and you go to court and everything else, they have a loinit and l'shavan, and they cannot even be meichel. So what do we see from here? That even less than a prut is considered legal tender, and it's a form of acquisition, and it's considered stealing. So what's considered a weak form of leasing from a guy, or a strong form? El Bria means the Moharkiv Avrugna. Bria means that I have all the rights. I can bring a big furniture out into the chatzar, bring all my chairs and table, my dining room tables, and occupying the chatzar. And that the guy is not happy. What happens? He wants to have a barbecue in the courtyard. He can't because it's full of these his furniture. So he's not going to be so readily amenable. If it's a poor lease, below Moharkiv, I don't have the rights to fill the, to populate the chutz with all my big furniture. So Hani, the murder concludes the question. Hani, I understand if the reason why you're making it difficult, you have to rent from a goy, so the goy is going to be reticent in allowing this to happen because you have all the rights in the contract that says you can put whatever you want in the chutz, then he won't be, so he'll be hesitant. So that helps achieve our purpose. You won't want to live there because you need the space and he won't give it to you. And that even a weak tendency is good enough. And why would the guy say no? Surely he would say yes. So what do we achieve? It's easy for him to go. In fact, he's getting a couple of dollars for it. So it'll be very easy. So what do we achieve? So if halachically the guy does not really own the house, does not answer us, and you're forcing us to make an eid only so that we shouldn't live in those houses, but why wouldn't the guy accept a few dollars? It doesn't cost him anything. Mike, maybe not. Saying, no. The guy does not trust the yid. He thinks the yid is doing some kind of kishuv, some witchcraft, who knows what. Put the guy on some kind of a spell. They don't trust us. And therefore, they're not going to be so readily amenable to this idea of the Erev. Look what happened in the city. We tried to make an Erev around the city. How many people fought against the Erev around the city? What does it bother them? They were superstitious. They didn't know what it was. And they didn't know how it will affect their lives. In fact, I knew one of the main people who were opponents to it. And even though he knew each other very, very well, I could not bring up the subject because he right away felt that we were doing something to them. They don't know what. And that alone scared them. So that's what Gemara means here. And therefore he will refuse to join in and won't rent off his property, and therefore the Yidden will move out and they'll live in a Yiddish area. Gufa, let's analyze the price we said before. He said that the chatzah of a guy is like a deer of a behemoth, which means that technically if he lives in a chatzah, his house does not aser. For the people living in a chatzah, if a Yid moves into that guy's house, that Shabbos, and then the Yid, technically, even though he didn't join the Eidah, there's a lot of carry from the chatzah, from the house of the guy's house into the chatzah. Why? Because the guy's house does not aser on anybody. But however, there's a yid living there, and there's only goyim, and you're renting, and you just moved into the guy's house, no problem. But if there's a yid living there, echad ois, even one yid aser, if Rameh holds one yid aser. But let me ask him, you need two yidin, because how did it ever happen that one yid will live together with a goy? He's too scared, so therefore we didn't even make the gzeda only by two yidin. Let's analyze what you just said. You said the chatz of a guy is like a deed of a behemoth. Well, Hanan Tanan, but we learned elsewhere in our Mishnah right here. Hadori ma'akum v'chotzer hareza oisalohi. Tell me that a chotzer of a guy has a status of a deer of a behemoth. In other words, he does not aser on the people of the Eden living in that neighborhood, and the guy does not aser on the house of the Eid yet. And yet, but Nan, we learned clearly in our Mishnah that if someone lives with a guy, it asers on him. That means that the guy does aser. So the Gemara, no, like Kash, hold the Easter, hold the lesser. If the guy only his house is there, he does not aser on the people in the chutzah. But and Mashenkin by a yid, if the yid has a house there, even if he's not there, the house will aser on the people in the chutzah. So the Gemara, Mike Sapa, what does he hold? I understand. What's going to be the guy? If he holds the house itself was what asked because the house has rights in the chutzah. Then I feel like I can nominate it. What's for the guy at home? But the home should ask it on the people in the street. If you tell me that the house alone is not considered, it's not a problem unless you're living there. So I'm going to say, so why by the yid if the house is there and the yid is not there, it asks. So somebody holds dira below bailish madira. If you're not there, it's not a dira. The Yisrael by Yid, the Isa Asa, if the Yid is there, he asks, Kilek Lesa, and if the Yid is not there, Gozru Be Rabbanon. The Rabbanon were Gozer that he might come back, or he might forget, and so on and so forth, and therefore it asks. of the Chiyisik Zeda, but I'm saying by Goy, the Chiyisik Zeda, by Goy, even if he's there, technically it's not a problem. It's only because of a Gzeda, we don't want Yidin to learn from their deeds. He's Shema Yom Maisa. Is Kiisa also? If he's there, Taka, it makes sense. It's also. Or Kilesa also. If he's not there to make a Gzeda compound, this Gzeda we don't do. Says the Gemara Vechilesa also. You tell me if the Goy is not there, we don't ask it. But now we learn. Amaniach has based on leaves his house, Vahalach Lejibiachet, to live in another city. Echon Nachis also, clearly, even a Goy, he leaves his house to reside in another city. Oisit, do you remember? He still asks the people in Lachatze if they didn't join him in. So we answer, Hasam the Osi B'Yayma. There the Goy didn't go far away, so it's quite possible he'll come back on Shabbos. That's why we ask him. But if he goes to another area altogether, he's not coming back, we're not worried. Rav Huna
says, Minig Kirabalez Yaakov. It's not halacha. We're not going to go outright and give speech to the Yaakov, but if somebody asks us a shayla, we'll tell him that the Yaakov. Interesting, that's how Rashi learns, and that's called a minig. Rabbi Yechina says, Nogu Om Kirabalez Yaakov. Rabbi Yechina says that the people follow the Yaakov, which means not only I'm not going to announce it in public, not only if somebody asks me a shayla, halacha, tell me what I can do. But if they did love the Yaakov, we're not going to reprimand them. Only by Rabbi Yisrael, Kaim Lo Mishal Blazman Yaakov, and we have a rule that whatever Rabbi Blazman Yaakov says, even though he didn't say that much, whatever he did say, it was filtered through and it's 100% right. Omer Rabbi Yisrael Mishmur, Halach Rabbi Blazman Yaakov, Halach Rabbi Blazman Yaakov, Halach Rabbi Blazman Yaakov. So the question is, Ma'ul Rui Ben Mokam Rabbi, this din, that the Halach Rabbi Blazman Yaakov, the law is you're not allowed to paskin in an area where Rebbe is because it's a chutzpah. Your Rebbe is there. What are you going paskin dinim? It's considered brazen chutzpah. But what about something that's so obvious? The halacha of Lezman Yaakov. Is that considered paskin? Or I'm just revealing to them a fact that everybody knows. Omalei said to him, this idea of chutzpah, afilu beyasa bekutcha. He said to him that even an egg, if you want to ask a question, are you allowed to eat an egg together with something that has a mixture of milk in it? Because the egg comes from a chicken. And you're asking, oh, but milk. And obviously everyone knows that once it's an egg, you're allowed to have it with milk. So obvious. Even such an obvious halacha, you shouldn't paskin if your Rebbe is within the vicinity. He used to ask this question Chizda all his years, v'lo'oy, he didn't paskin. And Tosfos explains that there are different levels. Rav Chizda was a student of Huna, then he became a friend of his. So therefore, he didn't paskin within 3 parsa, 12 kilometers of Huna, but if he's far away, he would paskin. But if you're mamish a student, then even if you're far away, you shouldn't paskin if your Rebbe is around. But if you're there to stop someone from preventing someone from doing levera, of course you'll have to paskin. The mokin chil Hashem ain't chokin covered l'rab. You can go and paskin. Kol shnei rabbeinu v'lo oidi don't want to paskin. Over the Yaakov and Abba. So the same thing here. We're not going to tell people the halacha like Rabbi Yaakov if it's by your Rebbe. Only Yaakov and Abba b'ayin could go in Megillah's tainus. What about the Megillah was a scroll and all it carried there was all the days in the olden days that they used to fast because terrible events happened in Jewish history. The Ksiva Manchabu, it was written and put aside. You're allowed to, people ask you, what's his day? The fast day now, are you allowed to tell them or you say, go to my Rebbe? Even something so obvious, like an egg with milk, they asked Rav Chizda all the years of Rav Huna's life and he never wanted the paskin, so you're not allowed to. Tosfos has a problem with that because the din is that if somebody wants to know if he's allowed to eat, then of course he should tell him not to eat because to prevent him doing an avera. So he's saying the question was not about the days you're not allowed to eat, the question was about the days that you have to eat, that you're not allowed to fast. If you're allowed to fast, or if you're allowed to eat, things that you're not isurim, but things that you're allowed to do. That's what he said. It wasn't a question of preventing someone from doing a beira. And then it says, Rav Chizda Oyde, but Rav Chizda would paskin be Kfori in a place called Kfori, which is Bishonev, about when he was alive. Why? Because it's far away. And Tosfos holds only because he wasn't a student. Others say, even if you're a real student, if you're far away, you're allowed to. He would paskin in the name of Sikol Charta, who belonged to the city of Argus. While Chiz was alive. Again, why? Because it's far away. Or that this guy Argus is some kind of magician. Okay, we'll stop over here.